السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Just to make sure that you can all hear me, inshallah, if you can respond by WhatsApp or by, let me just open the mic, inshallah. Naam. Barakallahu feekum. Alhamdulillah. Jazakumullahu khairan. So let's begin. Barakallahu feek. And today, which is the 22nd of July 2024, which coincides with the 16th of Muharram in the year 1446 after the Hijrah. So here I am with my brothers, barakallahu feekum, and these are our brothers from Delhi, I assume, inshallah. I hope I've got that right, inshallah, that this is a telelink with our brothers from Ahlul Sunnah in Delhi, in India today, barakallahu feekum. And whoever else has linked into this to this link, then I welcome you with the greeting, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiru wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyi'ati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudhillala wa man yudlil fala hadiyala. Wa ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la wa ashhadu anna muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. So in this telelink with our brothers, or this connection that we have with our brothers in India upon the Sunnah and Salafiyyah, and particularly with our brothers in Delhi, and I'm your brother Abu Khadija Abdul Wahid, barakallahu feekum. And the topic that I think I'm going to focus upon today is building a community or a da'wah in your community upon Sunnah and Salafiyya. So with respect to that, it is important, and especially in this time, that we learn the means that will enable the Muslims to be firm upon their religion. And that is because, as you know, that you are faced with tribulations and trials from every direction, and especially the youth, the shabab in your communities, in your society. Trials that cause them to doubt the sunnah or doubt the truth even of Islam itself, Wallahu al-musta'an. Or trials that lead them to sins and disobedience of Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Or trials that lead them to despair in the mercy of Allah, and they lose hope in life and living sometimes because of the fact that there's no real direction for them. So they must be in the community and in the da'wah, individuals, Ahlus Sunnah, Salafiyun, who are able to guide and to direct your community towards that which is best. So this is how the community of Ahlul Sunnah, this is how they begin. They begin by calling the people to that which the prophets and the messengers called them to. And that begins, of course, where they began. And they began with Tawheed. And they began with the rectification of the Aqeedah. They did not begin anywhere else. This is not to say that there are not other trials and tests and challenges that the community faces. Of course, there are many tests and trials, whether it be in terms of sins, fornication, music, movies, Ahlul Bid'ah, Mushrikun, Kuffar, pagans, people who are worshipping idols, worshipping graves from the various sects that are prevalent in among the Muslims today. There are all of these trials, but where do you begin? And that's the point here. The point here is, where does a Muslim begin? Where do you begin in your community? Then you begin, of course, with yourself. You must begin with yourself. And this is what Allah has commanded in His book, wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from the fire. So that's the starting point, that you begin with yourselves and your family. So what is it that you begin with? And you begin with Tawheed and the rectification of the Aqeedah. You fulfill the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, meaning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that you establish, that you affirm for yourselves first and foremost, and you recognize the fact that Allah did not create the jinn nor the mankind except for His worship, as Allah has mentioned this ayah. And you obey Allah when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ, and know, O Muhammad, that there is none who has the right to be worshipped except for Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins, and for the believing men, and for the believing women. So the first thing that we begin with is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with, and that is, فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. Have knowledge that there is nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. And know that if you're coming to your community to rectify them, then what is it that the messengers came to their community with for in terms of their rectification? وَلَقَدْ بَأَثْنَا فِي كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ رَسُولًا أَنْ نِعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَاجْتَنِبُ الطَّاغُوتِ. And we did not send a messenger except to every single nation, calling them to the worship of Allah and away from the false deities, meaning to stop worshipping the false deities. So this is what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam was commanded with also, just as the prophets before him were commanded, that we did not send a messenger except to every single nation, calling them to the worship of Allah and away from the worship of the false idols or the deities or the graves or the worship of angels or the worship of jinn. This is what they were sent to. So you are now going to your community with the same message. Does that mean that we are ignoring the rest of the requirements and the rest of the essentials? Of course not, because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, as in the narration reported by Bukhari from Abdullah ibn Abbas, who said that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he sent Mu'adh ibn Jabal to Yemen, he said to him that, O Mu'adh, I'm sending you to a people from the people of the book. So let the first thing that you invite them to, that you call them to, is that they worship Allah alone, that they single out Allah alone with worship, meaning that you call them to Tawheed and you wahidullah, that you single them out, that you single out Allah for worship for them. فَإِذَا عَرَفُوا ذَلِكَ فَأَخْبِرْهُمْ أَنَّ اللَّهَ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمْ خَمْسَ صَلَوَاتٍ فِي يَوْمِهِمْ وَلَيْلَتِهِمْ. Then inform them, if they accept that Allah alone is to be worshipped, meaning that they accept the Tawheed of Allah, then inform them that Allah has obligated upon them 5 daily prayers in the day and in the night. So you know that in your community there are people who do not worship Allah alone as He deserves to be worshipped. Ya qawmi i'budullaha ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. So you go to your qawm, you go to your people, and you tell them, O my people, worship Allah alone, for you have no deity worthy of worship besides Him. So that's the first thing that you invite them to. So you are now going to your community and you are trying to build a community. So you have like-minded people wherever you are. So if you're in Delhi, I'm sure that they are Ahlus Sunnah in Delhi. If you are in Hyderabad, they are Ahlus Sunnah in Hyderabad. If you are in Kerala, then they are Salafis and Ahlus Sunnah in Kerala. So these Salafis need to work together. They need to come together knowing that you are all calling to the same thing. And this is what you find at the, you know, when you study Usul al-Thalatha, that's what you find at the beginning of Usul al-Thalatha. اعلم رحمك الله أنه يجب علينا تعلم أربع مسائل. تعلم أربع مسائل. الأولى وهو معرفة الله ومعرفة دين الإسلام معرفة دين الإسلام أو معرفة الله ومعرفة نبيه ومعرفة دين الإسلام بالأدلة. So that's what you begin with. So the messenger of Allah, so Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, right at the beginning of the three principles, this is what he begins with. Have knowledge, may Allah have mercy upon you, that it is obligatory upon you to have knowledge of four affairs. The first of them, and this is what I've just mentioned, that you have knowledge of Allah, knowledge of the messenger of Allah, and knowledge of the religion of Al-Islam with its evidences and with its proof. So therefore, what I say to you is that you learn the knowledge of Allah. You learn knowledge of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You learn what the religion is. And you have knowledge of all of this with its proofs and with its evidences. And then you act upon that which you know. وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ. That you act or that you act upon that which you know, meaning the knowledge of the deen of Al-Islam, the knowledge of the sunnah of Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that you act upon that, you learn it, you study it, and that you call the people to it, وَدَعْوَةُ إِلَيْهِ. So you act upon that, and that you call the people to that, and that you have patience, وَصَبَرُوا عَلَى الْأَذَى فِيهِ, and that you are patient with the harm that comes in that regard, or that you are inevitably going to face. My brothers and sisters, you will face harm, you will face, you know, opposition, you will face, you know, people coming to you and opposing you and fighting against you and warning against you and putting you down and trying to humiliate you. So when all of these challenges come, what is required from you? That you hide away, that you disappear. So this is what, you know, the scholars, they have said, and I've, you know, mentioned to you just to begin, and I'm sure you're all aware of these, you know, the beginning of, at least the beginning of Usul al-Thalatha, if not the whole thing, that you have knowledge of the deen of Allah, that you have knowledge of Allah, you have knowledge of His Prophet, you have knowledge of the religion, and that you act upon that knowledge. You know, al-amalu bihi, ad-da'watu ilayhi, as-sabru ala al-adha fihi, that all of this is necessary for the caller. If you are not, you know, willing to go through those stages, then maybe da'wah is not for you. Maybe the da'wah is not for you, that you just focus upon yourself and you're not able. But at least you are obligated with yourself and your family. As we mentioned the ayah at the beginning of, you know, beginning of this dars, that you, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. So even if you are not able to call others, you are obligated with your family. Oh, you who believe, save yourselves and your families. But what is obligatory upon you, however, which you cannot, you know, resist and you cannot oppose, is that you have knowledge of Allah, the knowledge of Tawheed, because this is what Mu'adh bin Jabal was sent to Yemen for. This is what all the prophets were sent for, to rectify the aqeedah, and that your knowledge of Tawheed, it is sound, it is firm, it is established, and your knowledge of Rasulullah, because that is the meaning of the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammad al-Rasulullah, that none has the right to be worshipped except for Allah. So that's knowledge of Tawheed, the oneness of Allah in His worship, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His lordship, the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His names and attributes, and that you establish that, and that the prophets and the messengers were sent to invite the people and to call the people to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, and that established the iman in their hearts, that established that rooted this true iman in their hearts and the belief in Allah and the tawheed of Allah, and that they act upon that which you know, وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commands you with the five pillars and the pillars of Islam, as you are well acquainted with. It begins with the shahadatain, and then the salah, and then the zakah, and then the fasting, and then the performance of the hajj, and thereafter you have the rest of the obligations of the religion. وَالْعَمَلُ بِهِ, that you act upon that, and that you call to it. So you establish it in yourselves, and you establish your family upon that, your wife, your children, your brothers, your sister, your mother, your father. It is obligatory. That much is obligatory upon you, that you do not hide this religion from your mother or your father or your wife or your children, that you are praying and your children aren't praying. How are you going to build a community when you yourself cannot even build your own home? That you are not able even to give da'wah to your wife or to your children. You don't command them with the prayer. You don't enjoin that which is good. You don't forbid that which is evil. And yes, you may even get opposition right in your own homes from your parents. If you are living with your parents, it's quite possible that when you practice Islam and you practice the sunnah, you practice salafiyya, you follow the way of the sahaba radiallahu anhum, that even in the depths of your own home, the greatest opposition that you may face is from your mother and your own father, your brother and your own sister, your wife even, or the wife, your husband. So this is why he mentioned the fourth affair, الرَّابِعَ السَّبَرُ عَلَى الْأَذَى فِيهِ, that you have patience upon the harm that comes in the path. But you cannot call and you cannot invite. You cannot expect others to follow Salafiyyah, and you don't even know what Salafiyyah is and the foundations of Salafiyyah. If you do not know the foundations of Salafiyyah and you do not know, and you're not acting upon those fundamentals and those foundations, then how are you going to invite anybody else? You have to be strong yourself. You have to be firm upon the deen of Allah. You are living in the time of strangers. بَدَأَ الْإِسْلَامُ غَرِيبًا وَسَيَعُودُ غَرِيبًا كَمَا بَدَعَ فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ. Islam began, as the Prophet ﷺ said, as something strange. And it will return just as it began, as something strange. So the glad tidings of paradise are for the strangers, or is for the strangers. So when the Prophet ﷺ said that, he was asked, Man hum ya Rasulullah? Or in a narration of a Tirmidhi, فَتُوبَ لِلْغُرَبَاءِ الَّذِينَ يُصْلِحُونَ مَا أَفْسَدَ النَّاسِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مِنْ سُنَّتِي. So tuba, or glad tidings, is for the strangers, meaning this paradise, these glad tidings of paradise, is for the strangers, as the Prophet ﷺ said, those who rectify what the people have corrupted of my sunnah. Those who rectify what the people have corrupted of my sunnah. So what's the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? The sunnah is everything that he was sent with. He began with tawheed. He called the people to tawheed. He followed the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or the way of the rest of the prophets. And the sahaba radiallahu anhum followed him. So therefore, what the people have corrupted of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam today, then it is our duty to rectify it, and you will find hardship upon that path. Hardship will be upon that path. But you cannot rectify without knowledge. You cannot rectify without knowledge. And that's why Imam al-Bukhari has that chapter heading in his Sahih, Bab, Al-Ilmu Qabla Al-Qawli Wal-Amal. Wa-Dalilu Qawluhu Ta'ala Fa'alam Annahu La Ilaha Illallah Wa-Staghfir Li-Dhambik Fa-Bada'a Bil-Ilm Qabla Al-Qawli Wal-Amal. So here, Imam al-Bukhari himself said in a chapter heading, chapter, knowledge precedes both speech and action. And the proof of that is the saying of Allah, have knowledge that there is none that has the right to be worshipped except for Allah, and then seek forgiveness for your sins. Then Imam al-Bukhari said, so here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began with knowledge before speech and action. Once you have knowledge, that will give you firmness. He will establish you. And Allah will plant your feet firmly. Because now you are upon thabat. And among the means that will bring about firmness in our religion is to have iman, to have strong iman in Allah. How do you have iman in Allah? Through knowledge and action. The more knowledge, the more action, the stronger your iman. The more that you call others to Allah and to the deen of Allah, the stronger your iman. Brotherhood needs to be strong among you. Brotherhood among you needs to be strong, needs to be firm. Barakallahu feekum, to learn the religion, to study the book of Allah, to study the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. That you are studying the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I have left among you two affairs. If you hold on to them, you will never go astray. The book of Allah and my sunnah. And likewise, you know, you have that beautiful saying of Imam Malik rahimahullah, that the sunnah is like the ark of Noah. Whoever embarked upon it was saved, and whoever refused was drowned. That is the path of the Sahaba, the Salaf. There is hardships upon that path. But our iman is strengthened through the study of the book of Allah and the recital of the book of Allah and acting upon the deen of Allah and establishing that in our homes, in our relatives. We mix with the people of truth. إنما المؤمنين الذين إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وعلى ربهم يتوكلون. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal that indeed the believers are only those who, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioned to them, that they feel that fear and that tremor in their hearts. And when the verses of Allah are recited unto them, it only increases them in iman. And upon their Lord, they are truly reliant. Upon their Lord, they truly depend. Our reliance and our tawakkul, our trust is in our Lord. That if I practice my deen, and if I call to Allah, whether I have one person with me, or two people with me, or an ocean of people with me, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will only bless my da'wah if I cling to the kitab and the sunnah. If I hold firm to the kitab and the sunnah of Allah's messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we ask Allah in our da'wah to keep, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keeps us firm in this world and in the hereafter. So in the life of this world, we stand firm. And in the life of the hereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us firmness. يُثَبِّتُ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِالْقَوْلِ الثَّابِتِ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ. Allah will keep firm those who believe with the word that stands firm in this life and in the hereafter. So as for the life of this world, Al-Qatada, or Qatada rahimahullah from the Tabi'een, he said, as for the life of this world, Allah will keep them firm with goodness and with righteous deeds. And in the hereafter, with firmness in the grave. In the hereafter, with firmness in the grave. Because the first station of the hereafter is in the grave. So when you are in your grave, you will only speak with that which you spoke with in this life. Man Rabbuk, ma deenuk, man nabiyuk. So be firm, my brothers and sisters, in the life of this world, upon that word, that kalima, that firm word, and that is La ilaha illallah. So no doubt, there should be between yourselves as brothers and sisters, that you are individuals who cooperate with one another. You work with one another. You study with one another. You are close to each other. That you are people who make sure that you pay attention to the needs of each other. You remove any jealousies. That you are people whose iman increases because you are those who are close to one another. You don't have jealousies amongst each other. Like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself said, لا تحاسدوا ولا تناجشوا ولا تباغدوا ولا تدابروا ولا يبيع بعضكم على بيع بعض وكونوا عباد الله إخوانا. Do not be jealous of one another. Do not artificially inflate prices against one another. Do not harbor hatred against one another. Do not turn or desert one another. And one of you should not enter into a transaction that your brother has already entered into. Meaning, don't try to compete once he has entered into a transaction. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Kunu ibadallahi ikhwana." Rather, be brothers one to another and servants of Allah. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-Muslimu akhul Muslim." A brother is a brother to a Muslim. لا يظلمه. He does not wrong him. لا يخذل ولا يخذله. And he does not despise him or abandon him. ولا يحقره. And he does not look down upon him. He does not abandon him. And he does not look down upon him. He does not despise him. التقوى هاهنا. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and taqwa is right here. هاهنا. And he pointed 3 times to his chest. That's what he did, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that it is enough, despite that it is enough that a Muslim, enough for a person that he of evil upon him, that he despises his brother. So don't despise one another. Don't despise one another. Don't hate one another. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ الْمُسْلِمْ عَلَى الْمُسْلِمْ حَرَامُ دَمُهُ وَمَالُهُ وَعِرْضُهُ. A Muslim to another Muslim is inviolable. Every Muslim's blood, property and honor are unlawful to be violated by another Muslim. All of this is important to build a community. How can you build a community when you have jealousies, you have hatred, you have envy? You're not willing to be brothers one to another. That's why Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, وَكُونُوا عِبَادَ اللَّهِ إِخْوَانًا. Be brothers one to another. Worshippers of Allah, brothers one to another. And likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يُؤْمِنُ أَحَدُكُمْ حَتَّى يُحِبُّ لِأَخِيهِ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِهِ. None of you truly believes until he loves for his brother that which he loves for himself. So these are the ingredients. You want to build a community. You want to be individuals who want the da'wah to spread. Then how do you spread the da'wah? You spread the da'wah by being people who have knowledge of the deen, knowledge of the aqeedah, studying the books of aqeedah, Kitab al-Tawheed, Usul al-Thalatha, Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah, Sharh al-Sunnah Barbahari, Usul al-Sunnah Ahmed ibn Hanbal. But you're not just learning these books, but you're actually acting upon them. Your wala and bara is for Allah. Your allegiance and your disavowal and your enmity is for Allah. Whoever loves for Allah, hates for Allah, gives for Allah, takes for Allah has perfected iman. This is what it means to build a community. You enjoin the good, you forbid the evil. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. You are indeed the best ummah raised forth for mankind. You enjoin that which is good, you prohibit that which is evil, and you believe in Allah. So it is upon you to enjoin the good inside your families. Pray all of the prayers. You enjoin that upon your wife and upon your children. You do that which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam commanded. Command your children to pray at the age of 7. And smack them if they are not praying at the age of 10 and separate them from their beds. Separate them, meaning the boys and the girls, put them in separate beds. So this is the tarbiyah of your own children. So this is where it must begin. You build a community by, for the Salafis anyway, I mean, let's focus it down to the Salafiyun, that the Salafis, if you live in, for example, in Delhi, then Delhi is a huge city. I mean, I think even I know that. Everyone knows how huge of a city Delhi is. And likewise with other places across Pakistan, across India, or even in Pakistan for that matter. Places like Bangalore or Karachi in Pakistan, these are huge metropolises. So what do? The Salafis, they gather in one area to the best of their ability, in one place. So if they are outlying towns and cities, then my advice to the Salafis is go to a place where all of the Salafis can be in one place, because your strength is in your numbers and your community, which is, you know, basically what we did in the United Kingdom. So when the Mashaykh were asked, where shall we go, O Sheikh? They would say, go to Birmingham. In America, they would say, go to Philadelphia. Go to the community at Masjid Salafi in Birmingham, or go to the community at Masjid Sunnah and Nabawiyah in Philadelphia. I say the same to you. Like I said to the brothers in Pakistan, if you live in the villages or the townships, come to Islamabad. Come and live in the Salafi community where the Salafis are close to each other, where they can meet each other daily, pray together in a singular masjid. And from that, you establish this small community of Salafis that will now be able to give da'wah to those around them. They will give da'wah to those around them. So your children are mixing with other Salafi children. Other children are from Ahlus Sunnah. And that you are teaching them together. You have regular durus, even if it is one a week. When you pray Jumu'ah, if you don't have a Salafi masjid, maybe you have another masjid there, but they're upon Tawheed, like some of these masajid of the Jam'iyat, Ahlul Hadith, in Hind or in Pakistan, that you see that they have masajid. Okay, they are deviated in their manhaj. They are deviated in many ways, in siyasa and other than that, in hizbiyah and tahazzub. But the prayer behind them is sound. So the Salafis would say, okay, all of us, we're just going to pray Jum'ah in this one masjid every week. And on a Friday evening or a Saturday evening, we're all going to gather at a particular location in the city, and we're going to bring our wives, bring our children, and we're going to have a dars every week. And you may have a different person that you have a telelink with, or you have a local person who's a talib ilm, even if he is talib ilm, even if he is a beginner in knowledge, maybe he can read to you some of the writings of the tulab al-ilm or the mashaykh or the scholars. Even if he doesn't speak, you know, Arabic, maybe he can download something from one of the students of knowledge in English and read it. That the Salafis are there and they are gathering. Likewise for your children, a regular place where they can go and they can gather. But this, all of this requires commitment. All of this requires commitment, and it requires, obviously, that you're going to face opposition. Look at India. Every single day, and I'm not exaggerating, every single day I get questions from people in India, from brothers, from sisters, from young, from old, questions in fiqh, questions in manhaj, questions who's straight, questions who's gone astray, who's upon the sunnah, who's not upon the... on a daily basis. So this shows that our da'wah and da'wah to Salafiyyah is present in India. But the problem is that there is not enough people in India who are calling to the way of the Salaf in the manner that it needs to be called. So they are not studying, for example, Sharh al-Sunnah of Al-Barbahari. They are not studying Aqeedah of Imam al-Bukhari. They are not studying Usul al-Sunnah of Ahmed ibn Hanbal. They are not studying Al-Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah of Ibn Taymiyyah. They are not studying, for example, Kitab al-Tawheed of Shaykh al-Islam Muhammad bin Abdul Wahhab, or Manhaj al-Anbiya of Shaykh Rabi, or Al-Aqeedah al-Sahihah of Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen. They are not studying these works, let alone fiqh books such as Bulugh al-Maram or Umdatul Ahkam. So all of these questions, you know, they and I'm sure that I am not the only one being asked. There must be others from the mashayikh, from my brothers, from the sheikhs who are being asked questions. So I would advise, like I advised my brothers when I met them from India, when I met them last time at Umrah in January, I said there must be a location that in a particular region of India, because India is vast, that you gather in one place and you establish a markaz there, even if it is a bookstore with a markaz at the back, and you can teach children, you know, four times a week, Tahfidh al-Quran, and someone can sit and teach you once a week. Then you establish that there, and then you invite the people from that state, whichever state it is in India that you live in, or from other states, and you say, come to this place, and we will provide you scholarships for your children to study Tahfidh al-Quran. And we have a bookstore here, and we have a markaz here, and we will, inshallah, continue in the future to establish a masjid. Why can't that be done in two or three states across India? And then the Salafis, Ahlul Sunnah of those places, that they take their parents or they take their wives or children, if it is just by himself, khalas, I'm going to go there and I'm going to look for a job in that city. And I've had this discussion with brothers from India, just as what we did. This is not unique, by the way, that you are the first people to do this. We've done this and the model works. Because if you look at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where was the first community established? Medina. And if you look throughout history, there have been places, locations, and throughout history where da'wah salafiyah was established in a particular location and the people gravitated towards that, to that location. Like Baghdad in the time of Imam Ahmad. Naysabur, for example, in the time of Al-Dhuhli or Bukhari or Muslim or whatever. Likewise, you know, in the time of Sheikh Muqbil, Yemen. Medina in the time, in our times, in the time of Sheikh Rabi, when Sheikh Rabi was in his prime, and Sheikh Ubaid, and Sheikh Ali Nasr, and Sheikh Abdul Muhsin, Medina, Riyadh, which is Sheikh Al-Fawzan, and others. So likewise, these locations, they can, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can bless a place where da'wah salafiyah is established. So we have, for example, Birmingham. We have, for example, you know, Toronto in Canada, or we have Philadelphia. And there are other locations, Islamabad in Pakistan, Lahore in Pakistan even. So my suggestion to you and my nasiha to you is that someone or a group of you need to make those initial steps for the next generation, for your generation and for the generation to come. So you are sitting and you are upon Tawheed, you are upon Sunnah, you're upon the way of the Salaf, of this Ummah. You're upon that which Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have commanded you to be upon. So I say to you that if you truly want Dawah Salafiyah established, then these are the steps. Number one, that you learn your deen. You teach it to your family, and you teach it to your children. That you act upon that which you know, and you do not contradict. And you do not compromise the aqidah as-sahiha. The Salafi aqidah is not open to compromise. So you do not cooperate with Ahlul Bid'ah or the Hizbiyun, whether it be the Jam'iyyat, this Jam'iyyat Ahlul Hadith that you have in Hind, right, that the majority, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, are misguided. Same as in Britain. Majority of whom are misguided. And that's why you see many of them calling to the paths of politics, the paths of Ikhwaniyya, of Ikhwan al-Muslimin, many of them, and cooperating with Ahlul Bid'ah and the Munharifin and the Hizbiyin. So we don't cooperate with them. Rather, we call them to the Kitab and the Sunnah. We don't say, khalas, we're going to join you. We're not going to join you. Rather, we are with the Jama'ah. And the Jama'ah, ma wafaq al-haq, law kunta wahdak. And the jama'ah is whatever is in according to the truth, even if you're one person. And we follow the path of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. And we refer all our differences that occur between the people to the kitab and the sunnah. So this begins with yourself. Consistency upon the aqidah that is correct, the manhaj that is sound. Following the way of the Sahaba, knowing your scholars. Who are the scholars that you follow? Who are the scholars of this age and who are the scholars of the past? Their names are important for you to remember and memorize. So who are the scholars of the Salaf? And I've spoken about this on many, many different occasions. So I don't have to repeat, you know, those names of those scholars throughout the ages. And likewise, the scholars of today or the scholars of this age or this century. Who are they? Sheikh Al-Albani, Sheikh bin Baz, Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen, Sheikh Muqbil, Sheikh Rabi', Sheikh Al-Fawzan, Sheikh Ahmed Al-Najmi, Sheikh Zayd Al-Madkhali. Know the names of these scholars. Know the names of these scholars and know who they are. Because one of the biggest deceits that takes place in many Muslim lands is that the people around you deceive you into thinking that they are the ones who have a monopoly on scholarship in their own land. And I've heard this from India, wallahi. And I still have messages on my WhatsApp during that fitna that occurred a few years ago, where many of the people of the Jam'iyat, their so-called sheikhs and leaders, were giving the fatwa to go out and march in the streets. And you know that. You know that was happening. Giving fatwa to go and march in the streets. Then giving fatwa to go and busy themselves with politics and the parliament and with elections and with political parties. These are fatwa coming from this jam'iyyat that claims to be upon hadith. And in addition to that, they were giving fatwa that you can go and cooperate openly with the Breluya and the various sects of tasawwuf and sufiya and the Quburiya and with Diobandiya and with all of the rest of the people of Bid'ah. They were giving fatwa and they themselves were appearing on stage inviting the people to come and join them in unity conferences. This is not what our da'wah is about. That is not what you're going to find in Sharh al-Sunnah of al-Barbahari. Read it. This is not what you're going to find in Rasul al-Sunnah of Ahmad ibn Hanbal. This is not what you find in the fatwa of Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah or Majmu' al-Fatawa. This is not what you find in the writings of Muqbil or Ibn Uthaymeen or Al-Albani or Ahmed al-Najmi or Zayd al-Madkhali or Abdulaziz bin Baz. You're not going to find that in their fatwa. Their fatwa is always calling to enjoin the good, forbidding the evil, radal al-mukhalif, refuting the mukhalif, not joining them and sitting with them on the same stage. Whoever does that, even from the mashaykh, then he is wrong and he is mistaken because that opposes the manhaj of the salaf. Knowing the people of haqq from the people of misguidance. On that basis, you build a community. A community that for a long time, in many parts, I don't say in every part of India or in every part of the subcontinent, but in huge swathes of the subcontinent has been missing for generations. Where are those people? Yes, many generations ago, many decades ago, we knew who the Salafis were in those lands because they would stand for the truth and they were hand in hand with our scholars. Not that they isolated themselves off and made themselves independent. And when you mention to them, this is the qawl of Sheikh bin Baz, or this is the qawl of Sheikh al-Albani, or Muqbil, or Rabi', or Fawzan, then they say, no, you don't need to go there. We have scholars in India. We have scholars. And they refer back to themselves, and then they end up giving these fatwa, leading themselves astray and leading others astray. Men and women marching in the streets, and then being attacked by the police. Those who give fatwa like that, they are the ones who are misguided. Because true scholarship necessitates that you understand the kitab and the sunnah and the way of the salaf, and you don't oppose that. You enjoin what is good and you prohibit that which is evil. So you gather, my brothers and sisters, seek out the rest of the Salafis, travel to them, live with them, live as a community. Even if you get 30, 40 in one town, in one side of one town, and you're living together. I don't mean living in one house, of course. I'm saying in the same neighborhood. So now you benefit from each other. You visit each other. You read and revise together. You call others from your relatives, from your friends, from your neighbors, and you slowly start building a community. And I tell you, inshallah, if you're sincere and truthful, Allah will bless your da'wah. A da'wah that begins with 20 people or with 5 people because of your effort and your hirs and your desire for the truth and your desire to spread this da'wah. Then that 20 or that 5 turns to 20, turns to 30, turns to 40, turns to thousands in one city. Do I have an example of this? Of course, there's examples from the Salaf. There's examples from today. Look at Birmingham. Look at London. Look at New York. Look at these places in Philadelphia. Look at Toronto, where the Salafis, that when they come together and they are sincere to Allah, and they call to Allah, and they educate their children, and they follow that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them with, that Allah will bless their da'wah. This is my nasiha to you, that you stick to the way of the Sahaba, that you follow the way of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and you do not compromise. Don't look at the last large numbers, as Fudayl ibn Iyad used to say from the early Salaf, died in 187. Do not be, you know, deceived by the large number of people who are upon misguidance. Don't be deceived by that. Yes, those who oppose you are many, but that's not our concern. Our concern is, where is the haqq? And the haqq is the kitab and the sunnah. Where to hold on to? I've left among you two things. Where to hold on to them? You will never go astray. The book of Allah and the sunnah of his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. This is my nasiha to you. Build your da'wah and do not compromise, not with the hizbis. Do not think to yourself, well, there's only 3 of us, there's only 4 of us. Then go to a place where there are more Salafis. Go to a place where there are more Salafis. And believe as the believers, they believe the Sahaba radiallahu anhum. Jazakumullahu khairan. That's my short nasiha to you today. And of course, you know, much more can be said, but I think, inshallah, that what I've said today should suffice as an introduction to how you should build a small community in your town or your city, and that you invite others to join you. Barakallahu feekum. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'een.